This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Often Everland Travel for the very last time, at least until they want to come back later on. But for now, this is the end of our relationship with Often Everland Travel. They've been great people to deal with. If you are booking a vacation, get with them. You can still become a magic maker. Again, all our love and support over to our friends at Often Everland Travel. Thank you guys so much, Kyle, Chet, the entire team, for really help supporting the show. Made sure this show could continue on through 2016, and we're looking forward to 2017 with, who knows, we'll see. We have something really cool planned that we're going to be announcing in the next couple of weeks on how you guys can help support the show as well. Again, that website is goToNeverland.com. Book your vacation. Let them know you heard about it here on WDW Today, even if you're hearing this 5 years from now. Check them out, again, off to Neverland at goToNeverland.com, and Will, I know it's an emotional moment for you.
It is.
But as you like to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to Neverland.com. And now, on with the show.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now, here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, October 26th, and this is episode 1536 of WDW Today. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
This is actually a user-submitted question. People have always, or question, or topic, that people bring up, because I always am talking about that we stay off property a lot, and that comes up usually, but people have not said how you do it, what to do, what are the kind of travel tips to actually doing it, and what are the benefits, and the not-so-benefits, the, what's the reverse, the antithesis of a benefit?
A downer.
Downside?
Yeah.
The downside, yes, that's right, of staying off property. And there are some give and take for sure if you do it. But for me, I know that I do it probably more than Terry does. And I definitely do it. Will usually comes with wherever I go.
Right.
So I usually handle the booking side of it. But for booking, I typically, now it depends on how you want to do it. When it comes to planning a trip, then you're not going to stay on property. And first, let me talk about the benefits, actually, and the negatives. There you go, the negatives,
yeah,
of staying off property. So the benefits are usually, and when I mean off property, this could even be an off property hotel. It doesn't necessarily have to be a house. I typically do a vacation home, but the major big plus is obviously price. You're talking about half to less in price to stay at reasonably similar accommodations, whether that is a deluxe hotel, kind of comparing it. Now, it may not have that Disney charm, but if you're talking about purely your room, a lot of similar rooms can be found for a lot cheaper, depending on where you want to stay. Now, there's some resorts are pretty much on property. Some of those ones by Downtown Disney, even those ones like the Hilton or the what's the real fancy one? Not the Four Seasons, that's open too. Waldorf Astoria.
There you go.
Now, the Waldorf Astoria, obviously, very expensive. But probably what you get is probably better physically, depending on it. I haven't done my research on that one in a long time, but I've stayed there before. Beautiful hotel. But you also have benefits of staying at other resorts around town. Whether, again, that's just price. If price is what you're looking at, if you guys are trying to have a cheapest vacation possible, I mean, genuinely, you could stay for $20 if you wanted to in the worst hotel you've ever stayed in. I do not recommend that, though I have tried once and I abandoned ship.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit.
So when my wife and I were a little bit younger, about 11 or 12 years younger, so we were in our early 20s, we decided we were going to go on the cheapest way to Walt Disney World. So we flew down on Southwest Dings when those were very popular.
Man, I missed the Dings.
Yeah, no, they were great. For $25, so $50 round trip, we'd fly down to Orlando, and we were like, all right, let's stay in a hotel. What? We got the Masters Inn on 192, and we got there, and it wasn't like this is horrendous, but it was, we're not staying here. The bus service was bad, and it really was nasty. So we were AP holders, or we're just to become AP holders, which is why we said we're going to do this for cheap. And we called, and there was such a good deal at Pop at the time, because this wasn't necessarily during the most popular time for Walt Disney World. I don't remember when it was in the year, and also when it was in time. It was right during the recession. So we were able to get a room at Pop for like $80. So we decided to do that. Obviously, that was quadruple what we were going to pay for staying off property. Now, for me, I actually stay, typically when we book off property, at a vacation home. And you can do that through a ton of different ways. I usually book through, either you book directly through the resort you want to stay in, like a reunion, or you can book all through All Star Vacation Homes or one of the vacation home providers. It's pretty simple. There are usually minimum night requirements. That's one of the negatives to doing that. Not the daily cleaning or any of those kind of amenities, but the amount of room you get. is outstanding.
I would say when you're choosing a hotel off property, proceed with caution. We've definitely done that before. We were DVC members. We've rolled the old dice with the Priceline before,
yeah,
and had a similar experience off 192,
right?
Where you get there and was like, there was one. We went to the Mediterranean place we went when we were in town,
yeah,
there last time, and there was a place off right kind of there, and it would just, there was no way. Like, you got there and it was like, okay, I'll sleep in my car.
But you just did the Priceline like selector, right? So right. It wasn't
we didn't have a choice.
Right.
But it was like, I literally think we got it for like $15 or something crazy like that back then.
I feel like now though, there's so much like with TripAdvisor and with all those things, like it's not as, unless you do that, like you can do your research and you're going to find out exactly what you're getting.
And that's what I'm saying is if you have the chance, do your research. Touring Plans has done a lot of research on them. The hotels close to the parks all seem to be pretty good. I like the downtown
all major
Disney.
Major chains too, so that helps.
The formerly downtown Disney area is a great. I guess they're Disney Springs hotels now. I think almost all of those have recently been renovated. We've stayed in several of those, and those are with the walking bridge. There's a couple that are. You know, they're closer than Saratoga to Disney Springs.
Right. I've stayed in many of those, especially when I was younger. Loved it. No problems. And then there's also, there's other kind of luxury-ish resorts around. I'm not sure what the price point is at like a Gaylord, which is similar to our Opryland Hotel here. But I have a feeling it's not what you're going to be paying for the Grand Floridian for a similar experience. If not, I'm sure some people would probably say a superior experience just purely based on the fact of how vast that place is and the amenities, especially around Christmas, that'll be coming to the Gaylord hotels. And then there's also the option of the Universal hotels, which again come with a lot of the similar, not Disney charm, but similar theming, whether that's the new Sapphire Falls or Hard Rock Hotel or anything in between Portofino Bay. And those are on the higher end of off-property hotels, but you're talking about $400 a night instead of $800 a night for a very nice experience. All of those hotels. Actually, I think Linda said as well, blanket statement, the Universal hotels are all solid.
Well, and they're mostly run by Lowe's hotels, right? So it's a luxury hotel group. They know what they're doing. They're not just focused in one area. So you're getting a little bit of that luxurious charm out of it that you may not be getting from others.
And we stayed at the Cabana Bay Hotel a couple years ago. It's not necessarily anything luxurious inside the room.
Right.
But the theming's great. And you're dealing with families again, and it is very similar, all within walking distance of the Universal Parks. But to me, when we go, I'm at a point with my family that I'm at 80 to 90% of the time, I'm booking a house. And for me, I typically use All Star. I know there's listeners who run other organizations like Reunion and some of these other ones. No one sponsors here. I use All Star because they've been pretty good to deal with when something breaks, which it will happen in your house. They come and fix whether it's air conditioning or, hey, you need the pool heat turned on. They're usually pretty good about that. And they have houses ranging from $100 a night, probably at the lowest, and they're not bad. Like, I've stayed in a $100 condo that is really not bad at all. And then I've stayed in $1,000 plus houses that accommodate 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we said last time, and I think we talked about this on our trip for what we stayed in the last one, because we had a bunch of people, my whole family, all of our families, some help and some people to just hang out with us. It would have been a $20,000 a night hotel if they had that at Disney,
right?
Because it was absurd. So do your research on that when it comes to getting there. I know people ask about that. Yeah, no Magical Express. You do really have to rent a car if you're staying off property in general, because usually the shuttle systems, if they exist, they kind of stink.
Yeah, and when you do rent a car, you have to factor that into your overall savings.
Right.
That you're getting that. If you're not an AP holder, then you have
parking.
You have to pay for parking. So those are incremental costs you need to think about.
Absolutely.
You don't need to just forget they exist. Now, that being said, it depends on the size of your family, what kind of car you have to get. All those are variable numbers. But for when I've gone, renting a car in Orlando is actually pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I have gotten standard and full-size cars for in the 20s a day, which is pretty crazy because you can't – some places like Denver – you can't walk out not paying $60 a day for an economy car.
You should always check the last minute too, because those prices fluctuate like crazy.
Right.
Unlike booking flights, where the further out you book, the cheaper it is. This is usually the closer you are, the cheaper it is.
And since we technically are a travel podcast, I use that tip all the time. When I do book a rent-a-car, I always, as soon as I know I'm going, I book the rent-a-car.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm leaving, well, we're recording this, I'm leaving for Orlando tomorrow
right.
for a conference. And I'm checking today and yesterday watching rent-a-car prices because they're like the stock market. I might have paid $20 a day, but because now, especially in Orlando, because there's so much availability, there's millions of rent-a-cars, more so than, I think I've heard this stat before, that there are more rent-a-cars on the ground in Orlando than anywhere else in the world.
That makes sense.
And so, you know, those Lowe's last minute deals of, you know, Hertz has got 1,000 cars they're not using this right. week. All of a sudden, you know, I've paid $8 or $9 a day for
you got all those Florida
taxes. I've also seen the deals where they have to get rid of all their inventory, like they need to move it around or something. And so I've seen friends of mine rent one ways out of Orlando for like pennies because they can get it and then they'll just fly home or something. But it's like you get this incredible deal getting out of town because there are so many rental cars.
When you see on your rental car keys that, do you want to own this car? Is there ever a part of you that's like, yeah.
No, we're not you.
I get that. Every single time. Every time I'm like, I kind of do want to own this car.
The only car that I've ever done that has been in Orlando, we had a rent-a-car that, an Alamo, that like the dash started falling out of it. So we swapped it out and got a brand new, there was a Chevy, like something below the Equinox. And it was like, wow, this is the coolest car I've ever driven. Like, so yeah, we had that same experience. So
yeah, occasionally, mine usually would be bad. Like,
I thought you were going to say you really wanted the car with the dash.
It looked awesome.
Exposed electronics.
Right. That's the newest thing in trends. All right. I don't know what we're talking about here. But
back to the houses, though, that you've been talking about. And because I have enjoyed going to those houses with your family.
Right.
And
for years.
Right. And I've never felt like, oh, man, I don't know if I want to be this far off. Because, I mean, it takes about 20 minutes to get to the park.
Yeah. For most of the houses, just because it's not mileage as much as it is just traffic.
Getting out of the neighborhood, stoplight. 15,
20 to 30, depending on where you're going.
Right. So there is that aspect, but I've never really thought negatively about that as much personally. Like, that hasn't bothered me because I also think, okay, well, I'm not typically staying on a monorail site if I am staying on property just because of how expensive those are. So it would be, honestly probably be about the same getting to a bus, waiting for it, getting in the park. Like, those factors do exist that it takes a while sometimes. But one of the cool things for that to me is, aside from the price of the rooms, having a common area to chill out and just hang out, have fun, which every house has a living room, you know, and especially if there's young kids there, kids can be like taking a nap in a room and you don't have to worry about like, I'm in the same room with a kid that's sleeping. Now, obviously I wouldn't necessarily, but if I were going to your room to hang out and one of your kids was taking a nap, but we couldn't really talk and you can't really like leave them.
And it spoils you in some ways to hotels.
So I like that fact, especially if it's like a large family going on vacation or if grandparents are coming along too. I like the idea that you can still visit and your trip doesn't have to be dictated by the confines of a hotel room.
Yeah, or a hotel resort. Now, a lot of these do have good amenities like, you know, Reunion or even Windsor Hill. Some of these have stuff like, obviously, pools. Usually every house has a pool, but resorts usually have pools. Reunion has a water park you can use for a couple days on your trip at least. Or golf courses, bars, restaurants. So there are a lot of cool amenities depending on where you want to stay. But like you said, I mean, this kind of spoiled us because my wife and I are looking to take the whole family to Chicago soon, and we're actually looking more at Airbnb now than we are looking at a hotel, just because we've gotten spoiled with having the room, not having to have the kids asleep and everyone asleep by 7 o'clock. I mean, especially with the little ones, to be able to say, all right, let's hang out here. Oh, this one has a rooftop, you know, lounge. Let's do that. That's become more our usual. Now, Airbnb, I don't love as much as some of these other services because you don't get the
corporate touch.
Right. You don't get the fact that they're handling everything for you and you get an email with, here's your code, and everything works perfectly 99% of the time. And you don't get an arcade usually in a house.
Do love those arcades.
Arcades, movie theaters. They have so many great things. And we're not sponsored. It's just the truth. It's just what I do as someone travels. Now, that being said, if money was no option, would I stay at Disney World on property each time. Not with my entire family, but if it was like me and my boy, or me and my, if it was just the three of us at the time, yeah, there's a decent chance, just because if I could get a similar rooms, let's say I could even get a 2-bedroom at Bay Lake Tower for under $1,000 a night. I mean, is that happen much? Not much. It does happen.
Points, that's possible.
Okay, but let's even say $500, $700 a night, very unlikely. And though that may be something that's good, it's still not as good, but you do get at least separate rooms, living areas, more than just a traditional hotel room, because you get stuck in the confines. You can't leave a lot of times your little kids in their own room, and it's just, yeah, it's very uncomfortable that way. So that's why I do it. And usually you can still find places to see the fireworks at night if you want to sit by, you know, sometimes some of these houses, you sit at the pool, you can watch the fireworks. So it's pretty neat.
Here's as a family without kids.
A singleton.
I'm not a singleton. I'm married.
A dualton?
Yeah. It's just a couple without children. How about we say it that way?
Yeah.
The off-property hotels even kind of have a little bit more appeal to me because of the cost savings.
Yeah.
And it's like, when we're there, we're typically going to parks. We're not really using the amenities of the resort. You're paying for those. You are paying for them whether or not you use them. So I would almost rather, even as just us, just stay in a place where we can save that money and then put that money towards having a great dinner, like top-end dinner at the park. You know, like those are things that then become available. I know sometimes people are like, oh, you guys go to like the nicest restaurants and do all this stuff. And it's like, well, part of it's because a lot of times we're saving that extra money staying off property. Whereas if you're on property, a lot of your budget gets eaten up in that hotel.
This is why when we went and stayed in the house, I was super skeptical because I'd never done it. I was just like, great. Logan's taking us off property. You know, actually, I'm working with that resort we were staying at. So I knew the resort was nice on a project. But I was still just kind of skeptical because in the last 10 years, we always stay on property.
And it makes sense because you're DVC.
DVC right. members. But, you know, every now and then we'll stay off property for a night because we can't get a room or something. But, man, I tell you what, there was just something incredibly relaxing about that house. It was one of the most relaxing trips I've taken to Disney. And some of that was because the parks were so crowded. And we just said, you know what? We're on vacation for a day and a half of this trip that was a work weekend. Let's enjoy it.
Right.
To answer your question, Logan, just for fun, tomorrow night to book a standard 2-bedroom Lakeview at Bay Lake Tower, $1,068. Yeah. And I know what we paid for that house that had, 12 bedrooms?
It's in that range.
It was about that.
Yeah.
And so...
it's insane.
I mean...
when you start thinking about it's hard to not fall apart.
We could have literally all been in that house and not known the other people were in the house. Every floor had 3 to 4 bedrooms on it. We had an elevator. We had a pool, a water slide. You know, and I think it's not that our resort had a water slide. Our house had a grotto. Our resort
had a water park.
And so I think it's, you know, I was super hesitant. I was super leery. But being able to, you know, all hang out and have not just like one couch in a 2-bedroom to hang out, but we had, you know, a huge section where we could all kind of hang out together and plenty of places to sit and relax. You know, I think if you're a larger family, particularly, staying off property is something to consider if you're not a DVC member, because right now, you know, I mean, $1,000 for a 2-bedroom, I mean,
that can sleep realistically comfortable, let's say, how many adults and how many kids?
You can only, it says 9 adults is the number that
did. That's a ton, too. That would be not the most comfortable.
That's, and I'll tell you what's in the room. There's a 1 king bed, 2 queen beds, 1 queen sofa,
one queen sofa,
and 1 twin sleeper chair. So that means that you've got...
someone sleeping in a chair.
Someone sleeping in a chair, and you've got 2 people in every bed, including the sleeper sofa. So...
technically, you could do it.
You know,
if it's a mom and dad with a bunch of kids,
bunch of kids, you're going to happily do that to your kids. But no one wants to sleep 2 people in any kind.
I'm just going
to
throw this out there, though. If you're a mom and a dad and you have 9 kids, you're not staying in that room. Let's be honest. Like, that's crazy.
And so, yeah, I mean, I mean,
the only step up from that is probably the Polynesian bungalows. And that's probably another $1,000+ a night. So, and Will also brought up something that kind of made me think about the off-property thing. When you start thinking about whether... and then let's get into the negatives next off property is if you are an adult couple or an adult who likes Disney a lot, but isn't necessarily needing that touch, is a lot of these do have a lot more adult kind of offerings, like a Hard Rock or something like that, to where there are a lot of bars and clubs and
fine dining,
nice dining, the Palm, Emeralds type stuff. From and that's the thing with I just looked because I looked the same day for I looked because I'm trying to go in 2 weekends because Horror Nights got extended, so I just looked at what it cost me to go to stay at Hard Rock Hotel. It's booked right now, but I looked 2 days before then, and it was for their normal like deluxe ish room, Garden View, was like $360. So that shows you drastic difference, and that's to the next level of resort.
And right now, tomorrow night, $358. Now this isn't your passholder discounts.
It's right. I'm just rack rate.
Rack the norm. What I pay if I went tomorrow, just as a normal person, $358 for a deluxe studio at Saratoga Springs. Now, one thing I will say that I think it's a great value prop to, if you are a larger group staying on property, because let's talk one positive on property.
No, I think we not got any shift to negatives.
The Treehouse Villa, I think, would be a good option, and that's $850.
Yeah, I've looked at that. The trekking through it is what's kept me from doing it. That you got to have a golf cart. You got to get.
Well, no, you just really have to have a car because you park right there.
Why do you have the golf cart? Everyone gets a golf cart.
I think it's probably just to get to the resort, maybe to the main. Like, if you want to use the resort's amenities,
right? Which is what Logan's kind of referencing that you are still set back.
It's no difference to me than renting a house at that point.
Correct. Yes.
But it is on property. You get extra magic hours, and that's okay. Let's shift into negatives. The negatives are actually pretty straightforward. None of the benefits. So no Magical Express. No extra magic hours.
No free parking unless you're an annual pass holder.
No free parking. You have things like obviously the. When you're staying in a house, you can't just go to the lobby to grab breakfast. You got to go grocery shopping typically.
If there's something like a freak rainstorm, you have to get back to your car. You have to get home. Like, you can't just go right out front of the gates and get on a bus.
True. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, like when my boy and I were just there, we stayed on the Loop. It's a totally different thing. It was a lot easier for us to go and come from the Magic Kingdom. Absolutely. So if you're staying on the monorail loop, there's still humongous benefits. Think about, though, if your family's really going to use that extra magic hours and if it's worth it to you. Are you going to get up that early? Are you going to want to stay out that late at some of these parks? That's up to you. My family rarely ever did it. Rarely does it. When the kids get older, maybe. But we also, just due to the fact this podcast and these kind of things, it's not like we feel like we have to stay until 2 o'clock in the morning to get everything out of it. But a lot of people do.
We use them a lot more when there was 3 hours at night.
Yeah.
Because that last hour, I see why they got rid of it. It was super pleasant. I mean,
no one was there.
No one was there.
Especially like Epcot.
And now that it's 2 hours, it takes almost an hour and a half just for the day guests to leave the park.
Yeah.
So it doesn't.
There's not really that extra magic that you're looking for.
Yeah, the magic is a little faded.
I think also, and this just kind of brought it back up for me when I was saying about like if there's a rainstorm, we tell people take a midday break. And if you're on property, like getting there isn't as bad to me, but for some reason, the leaving when you're off property is harder because you have to drive.
Yeah.
You have to do those things instead of you're allowing a bus to take you and you can get off or a monorail if you're on the monorail loop. But when you're tired and you've got kids or you want to do a midday break, you're less inclined to be like, well, I got to go out and then come back in. And
yeah.
I feel like there is a little bit of nuance there where it's a little bit more tough.
Yeah, it's me if you're paying for parking at that point, especially in a Magic Kingdom area, just pay for the valet. Go the extra $5, $10, whatever it is, and do valet so you don't have to worry about that.
In fact, that was the one downside when we were kind of done at Epcot, after
right.
Food and Wine.
Absolutely.
When we left Epcot and we had to go switch the monorails and all that, it was just like, it felt like forever by the time
we finally did.
And so that's definitely, all of these things that we're talking about really just depend on how your family likes to vacation and what some people love the, like, I'm going to go 12-hour days. I'm going to go hard on property. If that's you, probably makes sense. If you kind of want a more leisurely pace.
But not if they're not using their hotels. If they're really not using their hotels, then it's not worth the money. I mean, you have to use your resorts. I mean, other than the pretty walk between what? From when you get in there and get to your room, like, who cares? Use your resorts if you're going to use them. And I feel like, when I stay at a Walt Disney World hotel, I don't typically use the amenities. Yeah. It's just truth, because I want to get to the park, and I want to do these things. When I'm at a house, it is that extra, oh man, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get there. Oh, I could just sit here in the movie theater. Oh, I could go to the pool. I could go in our pool. Like, there is a little bit more of that, like you said, relaxation that comes, almost forced relaxation.
Yeah.
Because of how everything works.
Which is a plus or minus, depending on who you are,
absolutely.
What your personality is.
Absolutely. If this was me 2 years ago, I would be, you know, kicking and screaming to get to the park. I hated leaving the parks. I love staying in the park as long as possible. So I totally get it.
I think a little bit of that, too, also, is that we aren't going down in week-long bursts.
Yeah.
You know, which obviously for a week, that's a lot more expensive at the hotels. But I understand like having that off day, doing stuff around the hotel, doing stuff and actually getting your money's worth out of that, that we're going down for 3 days at a time or 4 days max. You know?
Like if I go down back down, I'm talking about two nights, maybe one night.
So for us, that is a little different.
Except for Terry, he goes on 18-day cruises.
He does do that, but that isn't, there's no park there. He can't, it's not easy to get off the boat to get to the Magic Kingdom during the middle of your 18-day cruise.
They do it,
you can do that?
You can do a Disney.
You can helicopter off?
No, that'd be crazy.
There's a New York cruise that docks at Port Canaveral that you go to the parks.
You go to the parks, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
You know, I'm in Orlando this week, and I'm going to be able to go, I'm staying off property at the convention hotel.
Because you're at a different, you're not going for Disney.
But I'm going to go, hopefully, and catch a day of Food and Wine, and or an afternoon of Food and Wine, at least. And, you know,
it's almost Christmas.
Yeah. And I'm back for another conference, and we're going to actually put a trip kind of in a few days before that one, intentionally, with Leslie. But, yeah, I think the off-property thing wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be, although there are some benefits that I do miss, because we do enjoy those extra magic hours. Although, like I said, they're shorter and they're few and far between. And I think I've used the morning ones twice.
Yeah, I've used the morning ones once now that Riker gets up super early. But like we used it like with 15 minutes to spare. It was like enough for me to run to get out and frozen or something like that.
You did one thing and you were able to get in the park.
Yeah, that was about it. So, I mean, to me, it's been a no-brainer. I understand why it's not, but that's why people ask why and how you do it. I book everything online. I would encourage you, because prices for houses are a little negotiable. Not always. If you book through Airbnb and those kind of things, they definitely are. So definitely contact your person who's running it. And a lot of the houses, also, that's a big tip. If you don't care about having someone like an all-star running a reunion, check Airbnb. A lot of those houses that were on all-star and these kind of companies, those people have gone because of how popular Airbnb is. They've taken it in themselves, reduced their rate because they get such a bigger cut from it,
yeah,
and put it up on Airbnb. So check out those. Always talk with the representative, even like an all-star. Typically, you can get a little bit taken off the price, 10%. I automatically, because I'm a rebooker, get 10% to 15% off, which if you're talking about a house that's $1,000 a night and you're staying there 7 nights, that's almost a free night, you know? So that becomes a big deal. So make sure to always talk. That's the one difference in this. It's pretty much they're negotiable.
And almost all of them have some sort of stay multiple night, you get a night free.
Yeah, a lot, especially different, or like some have free rental cars, some have free gas in your rental car, some have all these other options. So some have personal chefs that will come and cook for you. There's always little perks and benefits. It's kind of the same thing with their slow season. They're going to have more perks when there's more demand. That $1,000 house, I'm sure during Christmas is $3,000.
So let's talk about, you know, it's an off-property episode.
Yeah.
Besides just, there's a ton of things that I think we all forget about when we put our Disney blinders on that are to do in Orlando.
Yeah, tons.
You know, when we were there, we went to this cool little ice cream, what are those things
Tasty
called?
Tasty Treat.
Tasty Treat. That was like a fun little Orlando kitschy ice cream.
Yeah,
You forget about when you're on property paying $7 for a Dole Whip.
Yeah, you don't see those things. Yeah, there's great food off property. You know, there's not the greatest food in Orlando. It's a lot of chains, but you can find the hidden gems. There's also... Orlando has a lot of other attractions, you know, not even talking about theme park attractions. We've talked about like the Legolands, we've talked about the Crayola stuff, but like smaller little things that are here, stores you can visit, the outlets I know Will hits up,
almost every time.
And you're almost more encouraged to do that when you do have a rental car, because it is kind of some freedom of going, all right, I'll go to the outlets. All right. There's a Disney outlet there. You get
and those
prices.
Disney outlets are a great place to buy those gifts for random people that you may not find online on property for half.
Yeah, and I got a coloring book last time I was there about a year ago for 50 cents that still had Alien Counter in it. It still had like all these, like they had thousands of them. So I almost bought them. It's like, these are almost collectible. So I was like, Alien Counter. I can't remember what other attractions. There's at least a handful of attractions that haven't existed in years.
You typically can get like random Disney-themed college football swag because of like the...
Whatever didn't sell.
Yeah, and when there's like the Citrus Bowl and stuff, when they're in town, they'll do it. I have one where it's like Mickey Mouse in an Auburn helmet, like stomping on a Georgia Bulldog right. or something like it's, that Logan found for me, which was very kind of him since he's a Georgia yes. fan and I'm an Auburn fan. But I just thought like stuff like that is really unique to me. And I like kind of the off
Christmas
weird
2011.
Stuff. Right. But if you don't walk out and go to those outlets and check that out, never even going
to
know it's existing.
It's a great place to get cruise stuff, too.
Absolutely. And a lot of times I know we found we'll go sometime in the middle of our trip before we kind of make our big merchandise spend of the trip. And you'll see stuff that's full price at the parks currently hanging on a rack, you know, and it's
significantly cheaper.
$7 there, where in the parks it's $55.
Yeah, I mean, I it's definitely worth checking out the Disney character outlets. You can find them. You don't need me to tell you where they are. But you're right. I've saved a ton of money there or bought a lot of little randoms. A lot of stuff from Star Wars Weekends used to end up there.
Yeah.
So I got like these awesome pillows that have Donald Duck and Carbonite. I'm going to get like $3, like nothing, because they were like, well, we just got to get rid of this stuff.
Yeah, it's a true outlet in that sense, whereas the unsold merchandise is going there instead of some of the factory stores you see at
occasionally they'll there. Have some stuff that's still full. Like here, our local Disney outlet has outlet section, and then it still has this toy is $45. That's an action figure.
We definitely have bought some Big Figs there.
Yeah.
Back when Big Figs were a thing.
Existed. Yeah, me too. I definitely did. All right, cool. I think we covered a lot. There's a lot of other attractions that you guys can check out. I'm not going to drone on because I know you're here to listen about Disney, but there's a lot of
stuff. Check out the Orlando Eye. I'm a big fan.
Orlando, the iDrive, iDrive 360, something like that. It's awesome. Great food. There's a lot of great. Tin Roof is there. A lot of other restaurants. I'd say great food, but like experiences.
It's fun, yeah.
Fun experiences over there. Obviously, the Eye is a cool thing. You don't really get to see a whole lot because there's not a whole lot to see in Orlando, but you're up real high and it's fun. Mount Tussauds is great. And Sea Life Aquarium. I cannot say better things about Sea Life Aquarium. And of course, you can go to those dinner shows, Medieval Times, Capone's. I've done Capone's. I've only done Medieval Times. So obviously, you've heard me ramble on about how much I love it. But I hope you guys check out Off Property. Don't dismiss us as not Disney loving because we like to stay off property. I do love staying on property. But you also have to learn. And sometimes you see something that you enjoy more, as Will said personally, and personally. If I could rent a house at Golden Oak for $1,000 a night, I could bring my whole family down and all of that. Sure, I'd much rather be closer to the park. I'd much rather be in the park. I would stay in Cinderella Castle if they'd rent it to me. But they don't, and this is the best alternative for me, for my family. All right, well, I think that's going to do it. How do you feel about that, guys?
I liked it.
Good times.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Special thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. And, of course, if you want to know more about them, go to offkilterrocks.net. .com. I think, well, you'll figure it out. And you can find out all the information for whatever we got going on over on WDW Today. Follow us on Twitter at WDW Today Podcast. And special thanks for the last time to our friends at Often Everland Travel. Thank you guys so much for your support, Kyle and Chet and everyone at Often Everland Travel, who gave us an awesome run. And we're so thrilled to be a part of the Often Everland family, and we appreciate it. But you will be hearing Will say this. So this is going to be for the last time, Will. As Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to their website, go to Neverland.com. Again, thanks so much to those guys. We appreciate their ongoing support of WDW Today. Hey, if you got a business out there and you want to sponsor, let us know. Hit us up. Over a million downloads already this year. So you guys have really stepped up for us and shown us that you guys want this show to continue and succeed. So again, email me. You can find the contact information at wdwtoday.com. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
And I'm Terry Weaver.
And we'll see you on the next show.